What's the best kind of ruler? I would say many have said that the best kind of ruler is a benevolent monarch, a king. They have absolute power and authority to order all things, society or their kingdom, in the best way possible. Why do we resort to a system of checks and balances, a system like our own? Ultimately, I think it's because we don't trust each other, and for good reason, perhaps. We have often been burned by trusting our leaders with unrestricted power. Our forefathers, who wrote our laws, our constitution, and so forth, broke away from England for this exact reason. So it shouldn't surprise us that we have set up a system whereby nobody has absolute power. However, Jesus is not that kind of ruler. He's not that kind of leader that needs to be restricted. He doesn't need checks and balances. And in a sense, we can't give him checks and balances. And this is hard for us to believe. It's kind of hard to practically follow for us. It seems our natural stance is one of skepticism, or to trust more in my own ability to have judgment over things. To put ourselves in the hand of a king is a little risky and a little scary, even if it's Christ the king. Isn't that why Jesus' kingship had to be unlike any other? He is a leader who cares so much for his subjects that he's willing to suffer for us. This is the sort of king we find in Jesus Christ. He fights for the good, and Christ truly is a king, and we can't approach him with our own label or our own title or some way to try to make him a little bit more comfortable for ourselves. A king is a ruler, first and foremost. The king brings order and enforces that order. A monarchy is not a democracy, as you know. We don't get to vote about what doctrines we want or have or what the church believes. In the history of the church, there's been many, many ecumenical councils, councils where the church comes together to try to address the current needs and challenges of the church and say, what do we do now? We've got this problem. What do we do? How do we address this? And lately, the church has had many synods and meetings to discuss different things. Even our own local bishop conference, they have meetings. And at these meetings, they seem to debate and talk about things and discuss things. And they do vote on different documents and how they should be phrased and how they should be worded and so forth, etc. So it can kind of give the impression that things are kind of up for grabs. Gives the impression that the doctrines or the teachings of the church come from us, not from God. They are man-made. They are changeable. They are adaptable to what we want them to be. So that can be the impression that's given. We shouldn't confuse these meetings as some sort of policy committee. The Catholic Church doesn't vote new doctrines in or out. Rather, she receives everything from her King. Everything comes from Christ. Everything we have, all that we are, all that we believe and profess, is rooted in Christ and what he gave his church from the beginning. We do have the obligation of sharing this with the world, but let's not be confused. Let's not get confused that we do not set the policies of the church. Christ does. Christ the King does. Our role as the church is to transmit this message, to be that conduit by which God shares his gift, his salvation, his love, his mercy, his blessings, his teachings, all of it. We share this message with the world around us that we live in. And it's either received or it's not. Sometimes it's not received, right? We've probably experienced that. And we shouldn't feel bad when others don't want Christ for their king. It shouldn't make us doubt our own faith when we encounter resistance in others. Christ himself was rejected, right? He himself communicated himself perfectly. He's God after all, right? Come on, Jesus. And yet, how often was it not received? So should we be surprised then when our efforts meet with rejection? Our role is to be loyal and faithful subjects. What does a loyal subject do? A loyal subject serves their Lord as well as they can, or as well as they're able to, by trying to understand the needs or desires of their Lord. Trusting our King with everything is difficult. It's a challenge. It's not easy. Are we willing to give everything or do whatever we're called to? Or do we hold back? Are we a little bit mistrustful? Lord, are you really going to take care of me and my needs as I perceive them? I'd like to hold up St. Joseph as an example of a man who trusted in the Lord. God's will was made known to him, and he didn't hesitate to follow through with what was being asked of him. God trusted him with the care of Mary and her pregnancy. The Lord asked Joseph to forego the type of intimacy that normally comes as part of marriage. Joseph was notified that the Holy Family needed to go to Jerusalem for a census, and then to Egypt to avoid Herod's violence, and then return to Nazareth. So the Lord asked Joseph to be a loyal subject, even to an adopted son, something that might, in a normal circumstance, seem a little challenging, something hard to swallow. You mean I gotta follow this guy? He's a lot younger than I am. I know what you're thinking. I know sometimes that feeling probably is out there. That's all right. I'm not saying I'm Jesus. No. Joseph is a good witness for us as a loyal subject. Surrendering his natural desires or comforts for whatever the Lord asks him to do. Sometimes we want an explanation, don't we? Lord, why do I have to do it that way? Or why do you want me to do such and such? Well, that doesn't seem to make sense to me. Can you explain it to me? Can you just tell me about it? I want to be comfortable with what you're asking. We're used to trying to negotiate our own way, aren't we? Perhaps Joseph had questions too. He would have liked answers for, I'm sure, lots of things. But nevertheless, he didn't have those answers many times. He simply did what was asked. Is that enough for us? Are we okay with that? Can I be satisfied with just doing what's asked? You ever have those moments with your kids? I don't want to explain. Just please do it. Please, you'll find out later why I'm asking you to do this. But just please do it. I wonder if God ever thinks that with us. Perhaps we fear that we're not capable of being a loyal follower. Perhaps we look at Joseph and say, I don't know if I can do that. I think if we can truly say, though, I've done all in my power to follow you, Lord, and to be obedient to your will, and yet I still find I fail. I fall so short of what a good subject would be in my mind. At least we can say with the good thief, maybe at least we can say this: Lord Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. If we clearly see that we're living in grave sin, perhaps, or feel unable to escape the bonds of sin in our life, then at least we can acknowledge our great need for God's mercy and beg for it. If we don't desire freedom from our sin, can we say that we're a good subject? Can we say that we're loyal? That we're not culpable for not even desiring to be following Christ? Or are we not admitting our own contentment to live apart from God in His kingdom? Are we not, in fact, willing our own separation from God? If we do this here and now, while we're alive, will it be any different after we die? Are we not getting a foretaste, in a sense, of what we are currently choosing by separating ourselves from God, by our own choice? It's one thing to fight sin and temptation and fail, and to lose, and to screw up, and to mess up, and so forth. It's another thing altogether to refuse to seek mercy, or to refuse to seek at least, Lord, give me the grace I need right now to overcome this sin, or to come back to you in my need. When we choose to stay in that position whereby we do not try to change and express no desire or intention to be reconciled to God, that's a dangerous place to be. There's no doubt that the Lord wants to call us back. And there's no debt that He can't save or give us forgiveness for. But there's no debt that He will that will go unpunished if we have not sought mercy or are indifferent to His will in our life. So as we conclude this year of year C, if you want to call it that, we're in the year C, we're reading Luke, we've been reading Luke all year. As we conclude this liturgical year and enter the new one, I think we're invited to reflect upon the reality that Christ is our King. And he is King, a King like none other. One we can trust. One who cares more for our good than we do ourselves at times. Always. We have a choice to make. We can either follow our King, or we can reject him in favor of something else, whatever that may be. We can either be in the company of the saints who worship and glory in Christ, or we can join the mob that ridiculed and condemned Christ the King. So what do you say? What do you say? What do you think your decision will be? Why not make that decision and let the Lord know once and for all, what is your relationship with him going to be? Is he your King or not?